Okay, now we're recording. Welcome. This is Getting Real and Uncut, and this is like my I want to say my this is my Getting Real edition. I'm gonna just say that. All right, so welcome. I am your host, Cynthia D. So, lately I've been talking to, folks that are like in the sector of like grassroots and, you know, fighting for the cause and things like that. And, we came across, a couple of topics, and one of the main topics that I really wanted to speak on and really wanted to, you know, kind of talk about was how the state of Louisiana is like, hush! Louisiana is, you know, we could be possibly, you know, heading into 4 years of trials and tribulations, especially if you're a person of color and you're black and brown, Latino, you know, we're going to be in trouble. And the reason why I say we're going to be in trouble is because most of us are not using our power to change, you know, the state by voting. We're not going to vote, so we're going to complain when the person, whoever wins, gets in office. So this is my thing that I want to give my spiel, my soapbox, my TED talk, or whatever how you want to call it. So, this is my thing. Yeah. We have mostly Republican, maybe one independent and one Democrat that's running, and the Democrat that's running is a black man, right? And you would think that everybody would like, oh, it's a black man running for governor, yeah, let's go and support him, let's do this. Everybody's like, I don't know, something like that. Who is that? They don't even know who's the front runner of the gubernatorial race. I mean, if you know this work and you are a person of color, you know who these people are. But if you don't, then it's just like, what are we doing this for again? Like, what is this about? So, shut up! I'm gonna give y'all my interpretation of everything that I feel that is going on, and it's something that y'all need to pay attention to. So, let me tell y'all something. The powers that be are taking away everything that revolves around quality of life from those who are most vulnerable, which are the blacks, which are the people of color, our Native Americans, our indigenous people, our Latino people. They're trying to take away all of this. They put us in certain conditions where we have no other choice but to stay resilient and basically, you know, just deal with it. That's basically what they're saying, just deal with it. But we can't just deal with it because it's going to affect our everyday life. So with this election, the person who is running for governor, who's the front runner, has, you know, priorities in place that will be detrimental to the black and brown community. If y'all are not paying attention to these ads that are coming up, first thing they're talking about is, you know, tackling the crime problem. In these videos, you do not see nobody else but a black person. All right? So you're seeing this. They are talking about tackling y'all. And it's already happening in Louisiana. Let me tell y'all how. First of all, the cost for like childcare and shit like that, Y'all know they cut funding from their program, right? The parents who need it the most are the ones who are most vulnerable, which are the single mothers and the single black mothers. Most of the single black mothers cannot afford, you know, childcare. Couldn't stuff for Medicaid now. And y'all know, well, statistically speaking, they think that... my kid's calling my name. Statistically speaking... because of data has projected that we are the most vulnerable, so we need all of these things. And that is true. It is vulnerable. Leave me alone! Sorry. We need these to survive, but I'm gonna tell y'all something. Baby, we are still living in that era of segregation, of discrimination, the Jim Crow. We are still living in all of that. And I don't think this generation, like, really cares or just not scared by it. Well, this woke generation is, you know, they don't care. They're not scared by it. Man, let me tell you something. There is the disconnections, like the utility disconnections and things like that. They are targeting those big metropolitan areas whose demographics, which is black, are the most dominated in. New Orleans, let's start there. In New Orleans, right? They are pushing blacks, single mothers, blacks, out of uptown. Because they want uptown to be this rich community, this gentrified community. They want it to be strictly for businesses and whites. However, New Orleans is a rich and traditional city, right? We love New Orleans because of the black culture. And people are trying to take that away. You can't take that away because this city, in my opinion, was the sacred ground of our ancestors when they came here. And it's so much rich history here that you can't remove the traditions that this city holds. You can't do that. So they have these things that's called redline and urban renewal and all this other stuff to try to take that away from those who are trying to succeed and who has been knocking down the walls of generational wealth. By knocking down the walls of generational curses, by creating generational wealth and being the prayer for their ancestors. But because we have so much power, we are so gifted, we are a threat. We're a threat. So how do you knock down that threat? You take away everything that is a need for them. So housing is definitely a need for us. We need housing. We need housing to survive. That's our peace. That's where we lay our head and that's where we grow. That's where we teach and raise our kids at. You know what I'm saying? They're taking that away. They're taking that away and pushing us into a neighborhood that we are scared of, but we just don't feel comfortable living it. So they push us into these neighborhoods and say, deal with it. You know, just deal with it, you know. You've been resilient. You know how to survive. Well, guess what, motherfucker? I'm tired of being resilient. I'm tired of surviving. You know, I want to live. Being in survival mode all the time throughout your whole life is mentally draining sometimes because that's all you know. But let me tell y'all how crazy this is. So by us being the most feared, because we are the most educated, the most gifted race ever, you know, that God created, the threat of our existence makes folks tremble. It makes folks feel insecure. It makes them you know, want to take away everything we worked hard for. When you think about everything that happened, throughout the years, you know, with the Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street burning down, you know, silencing a lot of pioneers, and guess what? These pioneers, they never stepped down, they never backed down for nothing. They are taking away things from us. Let's talk about education. Let me get on the education aspect of this shit. Black history ain't taught in these schools, and if it is, it's a part of American history. Nah, hell no. Nah. And you only, and the kids only maybe learn about probably like one chapter, and that's it. Black history should be a subject that everybody needs to know about, right? Black history is still here. And sometimes history is repeating itself. It's repeating itself. They're taking this out and they're saying that slavery was a choice. They're basically saying that, you know, slaves really didn't go through. How the fuck do you know what my ancestors went through? Please tell me that you have video and documentation of telling me what my ancestors went through. Because how would you know? Because it has not. How do you know what my ancestors went through? How do you know how they felt when they were captured and had to be transported from their homeland to come to someplace new, to be told to give orders, to be taught a religion? Now I'm hitting the finger on the nail. To be taught a religion, right? They were forced they had their own religious beliefs. And now that most of us are channeling into our, you know, our ancestral path, we are channeling into our spiritual self, we are finding out so many things about God that we didn't even have to go to church for. We don't need a title to say I love God and I adore him and things like that. I don't need no title. I don't need nothing to tell me about my relationship with God. Like, that don't make sense to me. So now they're trying to characterize this as a way of saying that it's sinful for us to practice certain what? Yeah. They are saying that what we are practicing is an abomination of God. Okay, but you giving us man-made stuff. Y'all are putting this title of Christianity as a way to use it as a whip to make us who are really in the spiritual realm, the relationship that we have with God. You trying to tell us that our relationship with God don't matter because we're not putting a title on our relationship with God. You can't tell me that. And then now y'all using what man is saying. Voodoo is evil. Hoodoo is evil. These sacred you lighting up sage is evil. All of this stuff is evil. But you have to look at the root and cause of everything. This was not evil to us. Everybody had a way to talk to God. Everybody had a way to communicate with God. Some of our ancestors didn't pray. Sometimes they used worship. Sometimes they used frankincense. Sometimes they used sage to really hear God. But who are you to determine that what we practice, what we do is an abomination to God because of what the Bible says? And I read the Bible. What I love about the Bible is the first test. I mean, it's the Old Testament. And when I read in the Old Testament, I fall in love with it because I get to know who God is and how great his power is and things of that nature. God walks with everybody. But because we have let society depict that if we don't do this or we don't do that, we're going to hell, we are messing up the relationship that we have with him. So if a person wants to practice hoodoo, voodoo, if that's in their ancestral tradition, who are you to judge them? When the Bible also says, thou shalt not judge. So now y'all, so are we being hypocritical? Y'all are judging folks, saying all of this stuff is evil practice. Ain't nobody join no cult and trying to sign their life over to the devil. But y'all let society tell y'all that because this girl goes in her closet, you know, she lights up she probably lights a few candles or whatever. She had a little sanctuary in her closet where it's just her and God. Y'all saying that she's practicing some type of evil religion. But little do you know that it's in the word for you to have somewhere to worship God at. Where do you think people worship God back in the day in the Bible? Where do you think they worship? They didn't have church. They didn't have church. But we're not gonna go there. Anywho, fast forward into now. Society has depicted us to be animals, to be reckless, to be nasty and all this other stuff, to not have a healthy household, to be that household who always has domestic violence or something that's going on and things like that because of the statistical data that's being presented, the calls that are being called in, the news that's shown and things like that. More than likely, you're going to see someone black in the news being arrested for drugs, drugs, murder, rape, you know, the whole nine, whatever. This is a plague. Jamal, pick your tablet up. This is a plague. Let me tell y'all something. Louisiana runs off of greed, power, and money. Now, the richest corporation, you would thought it would be energy. No, the richest corporation in Louisiana, you would thought it would have been oil and gas. Hell no. The richest business in Louisiana are our jails and our prisons. Get my spread out there, Flo. Each and every day, probably have like an average of 5 to 10, maybe 20 people being locked up, you know. More than likely in that population is going to be the most people going to be locked up every day are blacks. The way the system has it set up is make a plot, get the bait, get the money. Alright? So let's talk about the plot. The plot is I got the power to turn these niggas against each other. I can make them hate each other. What? I can make them hate each other. I put them in the same hood, or when they see each other, I'm gonna make them hate each other. Because the state needs this money. Alright, so now I meet up with the, now this plot, alright? I'm meeting up with the person who I hate. We fight, I feel played, bang, bang, bang. I shoot him, he dead. I'm in jail. All right, I'm in jail, he in the ground. Now, I'm in the system. I'm worth maybe like about 15 cents, but really, I'm really worth more than that. I'm sentenced to life in prison. So now that I'm sentenced to life in prison, now I'm making estate money. The places that they go to are the places that have poverty. We all know that drugs are sometimes imported through ports where big corporations, they can get this and you know, no sweat off their back, get this, put it in the hood, right? The hood gonna make a profit off of it. But the profit, the income of their profit is in handcuffs. So this is all a game. This is all a game controlled by a higher power. And the only people I know who are most likely to go to jail are black, because guess what? They look at us as animals. So now we're in a system. I'm fighting for my life right now. And I'm fighting my brother, or I'm fighting my sister, man. I don't even know this person from a can of paint, but I just feel played. Now they looking at us like we animals. They looking at us like, yeah, well, we did work. Let's try to get some old motherfuckers up in here. What I mean by motherfuckers, I'm talking about us. We are the tax. We are the collateral. And when we wake up and stop and realize that we need to stop being the collateral, shit can change here. But until then, they gonna plague us. This is a plague. This is all a game, man. You taking away my life? Man, but that means you taking away my life. I need my lights. I need my AC. How am I survive? I'm gonna go crazy. You done took my mama's job away from her. Now she gotta struggle to pay rent. I gotta look at my mama. I gotta look at my mama's struggle, man. I gotta do something. I gotta go do something, man. And then the mental health aspect. Turn it down. See, you in a single parent household. You see your mama working two jobs. Now you got some men who want to be better, but then you got some men who be like, man, a woman's supposed to do everything because I saw my mama do everything. That's how the system's played up. I say all to say this. We got to stop being pawns, bro, and start channeling our power. We are scared. For us to be the most dominant race in America, we are scared. We are scared of our own willpower. Change shit around here and make motherfuckers respect us. No, instead we want to do coonery shit like join the Republican Party and sell our soul when we get this high position because we probably was lame in school or whatever. We don't really want to fight. We'll say we'll fight, and then as soon as we get elected to office, I ain't fighting for you no more. I'm finna cook. The whole shit is fucked up. But when the fuck we gonna wake up? Man, let me tell y'all something. I got a black son. I got three black daughters. My black son is important to me. And I preached to him when I was like, you would not become a menace to society. And I mean what I said. I refuse to let the state make you their slave, mentally and physically, spiritually, emotionally. You a prophet as a black man, whether you know it or not. As soon as you gone, there's more money coming to these politicians' pockets. When are we gonna wake up? We're gonna start fighting each other and start fighting for the real cause. It's power in being black. You just gotta know how to channel that shit, bro. Like I said, when I first started this podcast, we don't get our ass out and vote. We up shit creek. Y'all thought gender was bad. This motherfucker bad. Priorities that's going to be detrimental to y'all. Y'all think. Get it how you live now, because guess what? Most of that shit y'all getting for free, y'all going to have to start working y'all ass off for that voucher, the government assistance y'all be getting. Shit. You think it's gonna be a struggle now for these kids in school? Shit. Think you're gonna be pinched? Shit. That motherfucker ain't playing. He gonna make this a red statement. He gonna make it a Trump statement. Period. Y'all need to get y'all shit together, bro. That's my TED talk.
Episodes of wild shit, but today we're going to talk about dumb shit. The dumb shit that we put up with as women. I was listening to a clip by Tammy. She used to be on The Housewives. She said that in this type of context, that black women are the most undeserved. Basically, we don't get treated like queens as we should. And now I agree. Because as a black woman, we go through the worst shit. We go through heartaches, go through trauma. And everybody expects for a black woman to get up and rise up, because we were created to be the matriarch. We are created to be this, the strongs, the backbones, have the hardest heart. We are created to not fall. Because when we fall, we have to get ourselves back up. And that is true. We have fallen so many times. We fall into lies. We fall into infidelity. We fall into everything. And then we have to compete. We gotta compete for love. We gotta compete for our looks. We gotta compete at work. It's a lot. And then it's even worse when you're in a relationship with the wrong person. You're going back and forth between the thoughts in your head and what your heart wants. And it puts you in the spiral to where you lose yourself, you lose your identity. So welcome to this episode of Dumb Shit. This is no way, and let me make a public service announcement. I'm not bashing every black man, because I love my black men. I'm bashing these ignorant ass niggas who feels like because they're a man, they can overpower, overdominate, lie, steal, kill, destroy. They can do all of that. I am a mother of five.
MJ, close your door.
I'm a mother of five. Two boys, three girls. I'm raising my two sons to love a woman and cherish them, to not hurt or abuse them, to listen to them and understand their needs, because women are emotional creatures. That's what I'm teaching my sons. I'm also teaching them to value themselves and to stick up to themselves and be a man, be a provider, be a listener. All of that. Teaching my daughters to not take a man's shit, to stand up to him, and to learn when to walk away. Now, I've been in some shit. I've been in some hurtful shit. I've been in some painful shit. I've been in some dumb shit. And as a woman, I feel weak. Because why am I still here? I always ask myself that. I always tell myself that. I don't know why. It was an instance to where I found some things. I usually overreact. I usually click out. I usually get angry. I usually get upset. Today was something different. I cried. Inside, I'm angry. Inside, I'm confused. Inside, I'm hurt. Inside, I don't know what to believe. But my outside is like your kids. Don't do it in front of your kids. Don't cry in front of your kids. Don't cry in front of this man. If y'all don't understand the pain that I'm feeling right now over this dumb shit, my spirit is telling me to leave it alone. Vent it out. Talk it out. You can't talk to everybody about it. How about you just do your podcast on it? And I said, okay, I will. There's a saying that says, action speaks louder than words, right? Sometimes the words are stronger and louder than the actions. The first word of actions is act. Anybody can act out. Anybody can act in a lie. And things like that. I've always been told by the same person that I'm so-called supposed to be loving. I ain't doing this to you. I ain't doing that to you. But I bet you doing it to me. And when a man says stuff like that, that means they're doing it. It gets to a point in time where I feel like if the hoe is worth you losing your family over, go be with that hoe. If the hoe is worth you sticking your dick in, knowing you gotta go home to your wife, to your girlfriend, to the mother of your children. If that hoe is worth more than the dynasty you trying to build, the legacy you trying to keep up, then go be with that hoe. But why put a woman through that pain? Why put her through that stress? Why rain on her day when it was already beautiful? Then I have to tell myself as a woman, you know this nigga wasn't shit when you got with him. Expect it. I don't like to expect things like that. I like for people to change. But I can't make a person change who they are. I have no power to do that. And I'm not going to do it. My thing is, my pride is in the way. And I'm tired of looking like a fool. Of course I can cheat. Of course I can go and do whatever I want to do. Of course I can do that. If I make a choice not to be stupid, I make a choice not to retaliate if things are getting rocky in my relationship. I choose not to go search and find somebody because they're not going to be able to satisfy the void that I have in my heart from the pain that I'm dealing with. So I just choose not to do it. But the stupidity of a man intrigues me. Why do men, some men, sit there, tell a woman how they want to be loved, and go out and go find it somewhere else? So what you telling me for? You telling me how to love you, but yet you're still doing dumb shit. And I'm the dummy for putting up with it. Yeah. It hurts. It's the same man I've been on and off with for 10 years. This man had 3 other children. I found myself... I always find myself just really just feeling... Close y'all door. I always find myself feeling alone. I find myself guarding my heart. I find myself being overprotective over me because I'm tired of being hurt. And I always say this. The pain a man will put a woman through, he cannot understand or fathom what that feels or how he can understand what that is like. The things we put ourselves in, the things we put ourselves through just to maintain the family, we lose our sanity. I I don't know if I want a family that bad to where I have to suffer and cry. I'd rather just leave. And I always hear, well, that's how a lot of old couples went through. They got cheated on. They stayed with their man. Yeah, their man didn't get right until he was about to die. Until he reached a certain age to where he was like, okay, I got to stop fucking around. You really think I want to wait until you get about 60, 70 years old for your ass to start acting right? Well, you need to be acting right now. You can't expect to want respect out of me if you don't even give me the same respect. You feel like it's okay to stick your dick in a bitch. That's not okay. Lie about it. You comfort me with your lies. Why comfort me with your lies when you can just give me the truth? Especially if I'm coming to you with comfort. I'm coming to you with passion. I'm coming to you with love. Like, I'm not mad. Just tell me the truth. Tell me what's going on. But then I hear the dumb shit. The dumb shit hurt worse. So that saying is true. You know, it's true. Niggas say, I'd rather come for you with a lie than to hurt you with the truth. How opposite and narcissistic is that? I tell you. Some relationships I've been through, I just feel like they weren't from God, because I wouldn't have to go through all this turmoil. All of it's just to have a family. All of it's just to say I have a man. Makes me not even want it. Makes me just want to be with myself. Until I heal, until I can trust. My heart is broken. But I had to smile through all of this bull crap. All of this dumb shit I had to smile through. Until I get the strength to leave and not look back, I'll be happy. But until then, I gotta deal with the dumb shit that comes with sticking around, that comes with forgiveness. Forgiving is a loving thing. That shows you that I love you. That shows you I'm giving you grace with my forgiveness, with my gratitude. Do I expect this man to change? Hell no. Nigga ain't changed since 2011. That's how long I've been knowing him. He has not forgiven me for what I've done in the past. He constantly brings it up. He has not accepted me for who I am. We just faking it till we making it. He still compares me to the love of his life. You know, he still compares me to his high school sweetheart. He compares me to all these women that loved him unconditionally. But he never hurt these women the same way he hurt me. So what's the comparison? You're going to keep hurting me until you get what you want? That's not going to solve anything. You're going to leave my children because you got what you wanted? That's not going to solve anything. A person's character says everything about them. I honestly don't think I can trust this man that I'm laying with. I pray so much for this man to change. Change is not going to happen while I'm here. I want to have strong faith that this relationship will work out, but I don't think it is. These are all negative thoughts that's coming in my brain right now. I'm trying to fast from these negative thoughts, but when you're hurt, what can you say? Golly geez, you just made a mistake. Everything's going to work out good for us. We're going to get over this. He doesn't love that woman the way he loves me. Bullshit. He don't love me either. The fuck? Where is love when you... Where is the love at? You wasn't loving me when you was in that car, drove to that girl house, you put down your pants, you told her to put down her pants, you kissing on her. Now she's getting what I get at home. What the fuck? That ain't love whatsoever. That's sanity. I can't do that. I can't go and pull my pants down because I'm gonna look like a hoe. This is the dumb shit I'm talking about. The dumb shit I gotta be comfortable with. The dumb shit I gotta ignore. The dumb shit I gotta be numb to. I'm not trying to be no bitter woman. But what this man is putting me through, I honestly hope I don't have to put the next man through none of that.